proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant is instructed to bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Olson from Fairview Lutheran Church in Minnetonka. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good morning, everyone. I am Pastor Jeremiah Olson, and I had the privilege of praying with you last April, and at that time my son Micah rolled in on his wheelchair, and he was applying to law school at that time. And he's not able to be with us today because now he's a first-year student at Hamline Law School and loving it, and he felt very inspired by all of you to consider those issues. So thank you for being an inspiration to our family. My friend Trevor Rubenstein of Good News for Israel was planning to come today, but his wife had a sudden illness, so he sends his greetings as well. The texts for today are from Genesis 1:1, from the Greek Septuagint, 250 BCE, translated by Jewish scholars at the city of Alexandria in Egypt. So I'll read that in English and in Greek. And then Psalm 113, verse 3 from the King James Version. Genesis 1:1 reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. En arche epoiesen ho theos tu uranon kai tein gain." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Psalm 113:3 reads, "From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." Let us pray. Lord God, Adonai Eloheinu, let the beauty of the earth, the glory of the sky, and the refreshment of the waters be extended to all of us. As you, Lord, created once in ancient times, now sustain us every day with the dawning of each new day. We acknowledge your good gifts proceeding from your creative power from heaven to the earth, and especially upon the state of Minnesota. Grant us your blessings of home, family, loved ones, and friends. Protect and enlighten all who are elected to our good government. Bless and uphold our public servants throughout Minnesota. Protect and defend us from all evil, and grant us peace, comfort, and joy through your heavenly presence as we pray and hear, mark, learn, and inwardly digest your holy scriptures. Amen, va amen, amen, and amen.
The flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic
in which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam President, thank you for having us back.
I will take a look.
Squeeze together.
Okay. After this, we're good. I'm good.
I got our proposal and our gas tax.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J., Peterson B., Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move first to the second order of business, executive and official communications. Please make note of those. Fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. Senate file 505 is given its second reading. Eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated, except for on page 7. Senate file 758 will be referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. And on page 9, Senate file 779 will be referred to the Committee on Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development. First reading.
Thank you.
The ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. These are authors' motions, and they'll be adopted as one motion. Members, don't forget to vote. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Johnson.
Madam President, I would move that Senate File 348 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and be re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. It is my bill, and I have spoken with both chairs, and they are in agreement.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate File 386 be withdrawn from the Committee on Capital Investment and re-referred to the Committee on Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development. It is my bill, and the chairs are in agreement.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Metzen.
Senator Pappas, on behalf of you, I move that Senate File 552 be withdrawn from the Committee on Health and Human Services and referred to the Finance Committee. I'm aware that you've talked to both the committee chairs.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Coonan.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 576 be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. And this is my bill, and I've talked to both chairs.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Stumpf. Okay, we'll come back to Senator Stumpf. Senate Resolutions 75, 76, and 77 will be referred to the Committee on Rules. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that Senate File Number 174, Number 7 on General Orders be made a special order for immediate consideration, and I yield to Senator Cohen.
Senator Cohen, Senate File 174.
Madam President, first I'd move a call the Senate for further proceedings on Senate File 174.
Senate is under call.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings on the call be dispensed with. The Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absentees.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, thank you, members. Senate File 174 is this year's deficiency bill. And I want to go through the appropriations in the bill relatively, not quickly, but I think a lot of people understand what's in the bill. I do want to offer a little bit of history, because I've sensed that there's some angst.
Just a minute, Senator Cohen. Members, I think it behooves us all to pay attention here.
Madam President, I've sensed there's a little bit of angst on both sides of the aisle relative to this bill. I'll just suggest to members that over the years I've authored a lot of deficiency bills. Certainly all of the deficiency bills when Governor Plenty was governor. I think I had a couple of deficiency bills when Governor Ventura was governor. And what I'll tell members is that we take a look at the deficiency requests. We do our due diligence in terms of making sure that it matches the definition of deficiency. And then we pass the bill. And I don't recall a single deficiency bill when we've had, I mentioned Governor Plenty over those 8 years. Democrats were always in the majority of the Senate. Republicans were in the majority of the House. We agreed on the bill. We passed it. We went ahead with the work of state government. So I'm hoping we can keep some of the partisan aspects to a bare minimum, because that certainly, members, would be unique, would be a kind word for how to handle a deficiency bill. Let me suggest then what's in this bill and what was passed out of the Senate Finance Committee. The principal appropriation, and I should mention that the total appropriation is $15.49 million, most of which is general fund. This cost is probably a little bit greater than deficiency bills in the past, but that's as a consequence of what's a significant crisis in the Department of Human Services. I think everybody on the floor is aware of the court orders under which the department is operating, is aware of some of the very significant security concerns at St. Peter Hospital, the concerns relative to how to secure the conditional licenses as ordered by the court, and the consequent need for staffing increases. That's what's the essence of the DHS request. I want to make it also very clear to members, just so there's no confusion. The commissioner announced, I believe a couple of weeks ago, that there would be layoffs within the agency. Obviously, layoffs that she was not happy about, to try to match up with what was going on fiscally within the agency. This deficiency request does not in any way reinstate what she did 2 weeks ago. Now, it might be possible during the regular appropriations process of this body and in the work done in Senator Lori's division that those issues might be looked at again. But that's not part of the deficiency. What's part of the deficiency in this instance are these very significant requirements to bring the staffing level up to an appropriate level to meet both safety concerns as well as court-ordered concerns for the Department of Human Services. Let me just give you one quick example. There was apparently the murder of an inmate at the hospital because there weren't security cameras set up in every part of the hospital. We're talking about a very difficult population, not only folks who are mentally ill and dangerous, but folks who have some very significant psychotic illnesses. So that's the principal part of what's in this part of the deficiency. There's also a small deficiency in the food assistance program. There's also a deficiency request on the part of the Department of Natural Resources. And I'll be honest with members, I wondered a little bit about the inclusion of that part of the deficiency, and in the debate in the Finance Committee, Senator Ingebrigtsen in particular made a very strong and compelling case for the inclusion of the DNR request, which is a very small amount, I think $69,000 from the general fund, other amounts from the Game and Fish Fund and the Natural Resource Fund, so dedicated funds strictly within the agency, because of some of the difficulties that that agency has given its dependence on these dedicated and revolving fund accounts to keep up with pay increases that in other departments are very easily taken care of within the appropriate, previously made appropriation. The other principal part, or two other principal parts, one is for the Department of Health, and that is relative to what happened with the Ebola crisis in the fall. It's a little bit striking that as we've now proceeded from where we were last fall, that Ebola has become not quite the crisis we thought it might be, not quite the epidemic we thought it might be in September, October. In fact, I noted just a couple of days ago, the president has recalled all but 100 of the U.S. troops sent to West Africa to work on Ebola. But everybody on this floor remembers the absolute crisis this country was in, where we had folks coming from West Africa being immediately quarantined at a particular hospital. We remember the problems that took place at the particular Dallas hospital. What accentuated things in Minnesota was the fact that we have the largest Liberian population in the entire United States. And so the administration acted in a very expedited way to try to deal with Ebola if it were to hit Minnesota. Luckily, it did not. But there was money readjusted within the Department of Health to try to deal with that. That's contained within this deficiency. I do want to mention what is the very unique part of this bill, and that is it came out of some discussions with the administration that as part of the Ebola crisis, there were several hospitals that came to the fore and said that they would participate with the Department of Health in becoming the receiving hospitals for Ebola patients if that were to take place. Luckily, that didn't take place, but these hospitals, in a very unusual situation, expended significant money. The governor made a request for $2 million for these four hospitals, as well as for the emergency responders. And when I asked fiscal staff to take a look at exactly what the cost was, it actually was closer to twice what the governor had requested. I think it was closer to $4 million. And so what's in this bill is a per capita appropriation for each hospital depending on what their allocation was. So they're not fully funded in terms of what they did. I had both Mr. Nauman and Mr. Albrecht from our fiscal staff be very careful about what those hospitals expended. They got very exacting figures from the hospitals. What's in this bill is a figure that matches the $2 million request of the governor. Again, if there's further discussion on this, that is a discussion that can take place during the regular finance process of the state Senate. Lastly, the Minnesota Zoo has a request. They had an original request, which we cut down by a little bit in further discussions with the zoo, where they just faced a very unusual and unique situation, which was the worst winter in decades. And as a consequence, they had extreme heating costs they had not incurred. They had a huge increase in food costs. And absent their request, we end up facing a situation where exhibits would be closed. Arguably, animals would have to be transferred, I suggested facetiously, maybe to some of our homes, more likely to other zoos around the country, if we don't get this deficiency taken care of. So members, that's what's contained within this deficiency bill. I can suggest, with the exception of the appropriation that I've explained relative to the hospitals, this deficiency bill, obviously separate issues, separate amounts, but as a deficiency bill, is not in any way different from any deficiency bill that we've had with any previous administration that I've been around for, whether it be Democrat, Republican, or Independent, and would ask members' support. I would be happy to stand for questions. I do have an amendment that I'd like to have offered. Again, I'm not sure if members have any questions first about the bill itself, but if not, I would offer the A8 amendment, which is not a substantive amendment, and I can explain that once members have that. And again, I would move the A8 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Cohen moves to amend Senate File Number 174 as follows, page 1 after line 17, insert.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President and members, I've worked on this bill. I've had several conversations with my counterpart in the House, Representative Knobloch, who I've worked with previously. And although we did not discuss this amendment, this language conforms some of what we're doing with Human Services to the bill and the other body. It doesn't change the substance, but it makes sure, and I think offers some clarification and some comfort language to members, that this would be spent, the DHS would be spent only on increased staffing levels, renovations, improvements at Minnesota Security Hospital, as required by the conditional licenses to be issued by this by the facility to the facility. And so I think this amendment makes perfect sense. And again, would be happy to answer any questions about it or defer to Senator Bach on the amendment.
Are there any questions on the amendment? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I'd like to offer the A11 amendment as an amendment to the amendment.
Secretary will report the A11 amendment.
Senator Bach moves to amend the Cohen Amendment to Senate File Number 174 as follows. Page 1 after line 6, insert.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, members, the A11 amendment will suspend the governor's salary increases that we recently read about that he gave to his commissioners until July. And members, there's a lot of information that I think we don't know. We've read a lot in the newspaper about the salary increases, and they very most likely are warranted. But I think the challenge is those of us in the legislature and the public haven't had an opportunity to have a discussion yet about how pay has lagged for these department heads in state government. I was encouraged to learn from the governor yesterday that he actually went through the process of a hay study, to which is a very common study that the state has been using since the 70s. A lot of private corporations do it. They compare the jobs to other jobs in other industries or other governmental agencies to get an idea of if we have comparable salaries. Apparently, the governor hired a consultant to go through a significant hay study report, and that is why you see all of the different numbers for commissioners. Those were the results that came out of the hay study. I think it would be very helpful for the legislature to see those study results so that we all understand in all the different committees that have jurisdiction over the state departments the rationale that the governor came to in granting the raises. So what the amendment has the effect of doing is just delaying or suspending those salary increases until July 1st. That will give the legislature time, I think, to put the kind of thoughtful review into the study and the salary to make sure that it indeed is warranted. Members, I bring this with a very, very serious decision that I understand Article 3 of the Constitution and the separation of powers, and the governor has his authority over certain things. The legislature has its autonomy, and I don't bring this in any way to make the administration think that members of the legislature want to meddle in his department's setting pay for people. But I do think we have an oversight responsibility to make sure that taxpayers' dollars are being spent as wisely as possible, and I think we have some responsibility to make sure that we have competitive wages so that we get the best quality people serving in state government that we can. So, members, I'd appreciate your support for the A11 amendment. I think it buys us the time that we need in order to do a thoughtful review, and we may find out that the governor's actions are well substantiated by the study, and may well be by the end of this session we'll be comfortable with where the governor is at. I appreciate your support, and Madam President, I'd ask for a roll call on the A11 amendment.
Roll call requested, roll call granted. Any discussion? Senator Fischbach?
Madam President, would Senator Bach yield?
Senator Bach will yield. Senator Fischbach.
Madam President, Senator Bach, has there was no hearing on this language that is now on the Senate floor?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, no, there was not. There was only one hearing on the bill. It was in the Senate Finance Committee.
And Madam President.
Just a minute. Senator Fischbach.
Madam President, it's my understanding that we generally don't bring new language to the floor as an amendment, or at least generally the majority party opposes anything that is brought to the floor without a full hearing. So I'm wondering why we are setting this new precedent where we're bringing this language to the floor without a hearing.
Is that a question for Senator Bach again? Senator Bach.
Well, Madam President, the original amendment was offered by Senator Cohen, so he might, as him being the author and the author of the the original underlying amendment. I'd like to yield to him.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Fischbach, first of all, I would ask members to support Senator Bach's amendment. I gave a little bit of a lecture at the outset about the history of deficiency bills, and there's no question that this language, like the hospital language, is a little bit unique, but I know this has been a contentious issue. As far as an amendment being offered on a bill that didn't go through a committee, I don't know, that's happened all the time, as best I can recollect. In fact, the amendment I just offered hadn't gone through a committee. We often do that on the floor of the Senate, and there's nothing that I can remember in my history here that's in any way procedurally unusual about what Senator Bach's offering, but hope members would support the amendment.
More discussion on the A11 amendment. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam President. And I would like, for just purposes of clarification, to ask the author of the amendment to the amendment a couple of questions. First, Senator Bach, could you tell us what would be the salaries of the people affected if the governor does sign this bill with this amendment on it?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Hamm, the effect of this would be the salaries of all of the recently in approved salary increases of the governor. The salaries would stay the same as they are in the current fiscal year previous to his action. So it would be the same salaries that people received in what would be calendar year 2014 on their W-2 they just received.
And Madam President, thank you, Senator Bach. Also, in this language in the amendment to the amendment, are these salaries suspended or delayed if the legislature does not take any specific action on this issue this year? What happens? Are they permanently put back to where they are currently, or does this just expire at a certain point in time?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Hahn, what this would do is essentially remove the governor's authority to change salaries on these commissioners until July 1st. Once July 1st comes, he would, assuming the legislature takes no other action, he would have authority again to consider salary increases for people in his administration. Might he do it differently? Might he do it the other way? Might the legislature pass something that would restrict him in some way? That's yet to be seen.
So, Madam President and Senator Bach, just so we're clear that this would put on hold any of the salary actions the governor has taken recently with respect to the commissioners, and it would prevent him from taking any action until July 1st. So it would give the legislature an opportunity to do something. But if we did not do anything, then the law as it was passed in 2013 would resume its effect after July 1st. Am I understanding that correctly?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Hahn, I believe that's the intent that I asked our legal counsel to provide for me. That should be the intent of, it was the intent I gave to counsel, so I'm assuming they got that correct. And I think this is a good amendment. I think it provides the legislature an opportunity to review the actions of the executive branch, and I appreciate your support.
Senator President.
Senator Hahn, and then Senator Fischbach would like to ask some questions.
Just one last question, and again, I'm not presuming that any bill or any amendment that the legislature deals with needs to be pre-approved by anyone, but I'm just curious if the governor is aware of this and would he support this if we do pass it?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I don't know if the governor supports this language. There's some different language over in the other body. I have not talked to the Speaker of the House if he supports this. I don't know if this is a Senate file going over to the House. They'll make a decision whether the House wants to put their language in and send it back to us. We would then have to make a decision if we're going to go to conference or not. So I think there's a lot of steps yet before this would ever land on the governor's desk.
Senator Fischbach.
Madam President, would Senator Bach yield, please?
Senator Bach will yield. Senator Fischbach.
Madam President, Senator Bach, you intend to have full hearings, and I do appreciate the spirit of the amendment. I do appreciate that, but I'm wondering about the hearings. You know, the other body has had the opportunity to have hearings. In what committee and how quickly are we going to be having committees or hearings on the issue of the salary increases?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I will request of Senator Cohen, if this is enacted into law, that he direct his division chairs to have those hearings. Probably before the policy deadlines have expired, so that in the event we want to actually pass some language, we meet the committee deadlines. I believe the commissioner of MMB is actually over in the House committee today talking about this, so I think the administration is ready to talk about it to further explain their rationale for what they've done, and we certainly would plan on doing that in all the appropriate committees in the Senate prior to any committee deadline so some action could be taken.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Fischbach.
Madam President, Senator Bach, then my understanding is that there will be finance hearings, or you'll at least request of Senator Cohen that there'll be finance hearings on it so the public has the opportunity. So, Madam President, I would ask that Senator Cohen yield.
Senator Cohen, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Fischbach.
And, Madam President, Senator Cohen, when would you be holding hearings if this, I'm assuming this is going to pass into law, or at least the intent of it, and I think that I've gotten the understanding from most folks in the body here that they would like to at least have hearings on this, even if this exact language wasn't passed into law. So, Senator Cohen, would you be willing to have hearings, and when would you be doing that?
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, I certainly can't speak to the latter, because obviously the Finance Committee and its divisions meet in the context and around the other committees of the Senate. So I'm not going to speak to when this might happen. I'll certainly talk to the division chairman to make sure that the issue is raised. I'm not sure it would be appropriate to do it in the full Finance Committee. It might be more appropriate to do it division by division with commissioners and salaries that are impacted within that division, because they'll have, in this regular budget year, the authority before it gets to the full Finance Committee. But certainly happy to work with yourself as the lead on the Finance Committee to determine what's the best approach to this. But certainly we'll hear the issue and have a full exposition for folks on what's appropriate or what's not appropriate.
Senator Fischbach.
Madam President, just a suggestion to Senator Cohen. I would suggest that it is appropriate for the Finance Committee to hear the issue of the commissioner pay raises, and I would suggest that we do that as soon as we can, given that the other body has already been able to, I believe, have two committee hearings on it, and I think that we would have the opportunity. I think full finance would be an appropriate place for that.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. To the amendment, Senator Bach, would you yield for a question, please?
Senator Bach will yield. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Bach, I haven't had a chance to look at the amendment, but first of all, let me tell you, I appreciate you bringing this amendment forward because of the inability of the legislature to talk about this and deal with this. But included in your amendment, I'm wondering, or if there's been any consideration with regards to the portion of the raise that the governor had given the Met Council CEO. The Met Council CEO, with one fell swoop, come from a part-time position to a full-time position, hence an $84,000 increase. Can you talk about that? Is that included in this amendment? I guess I'm wondering, is there been any consideration included in your amendment with regards to the authority given the governor, just the automatic authority to go ahead and make that a full-time position? Is that addressed in this amendment?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Ingebrigtsen, that's a good question, because the chair of the Met Council is not considered a commissioner under law. So what I asked council to do is make sure that the chair of the Met Council was included in this amendment. So as the language is drafted, the chair of the Met Council will continue with the current salary that they have at, it's 50-some thousand dollars a year. So if that individual wants to work more than part-time, they certainly can, but their salary is fixed at the 2014 calendar year level.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam President, thank you, Senator Bach, for that clarification. And I think the body, the body needs to deal with that. I mean, governor may very well have that authority, may very well have the authority to make it from a part-time to a full-time position, but at the very least, I would think that, at least I have not heard or heard any discussion about that. Would be certainly, I think, in the interest of this body to discuss that from that position, a very high-profile position, going from a part-time to a full-time. So thank you.
Senator Westrum, sorry.
Thank you, Madam President. I guess I wonder if Senator Cohen would yield.
Senator Cohen, will you yield? Senator Cohen will yield. Senator Westrom.
Senator Cohen, the recent double-digit increases that we're becoming aware of with the governor's commissioners, we've got a deficiency bill in front of us. Can you tell us what the increase was for the Commissioner of Human Services?
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Westrom, I've got those figures here somewhere. I want to say 25,000. If you want to wait a second, I'll let's see. How about my seatmate, who's really a bright member of the Senate, has pointed out that it's $11,711.
Senator Westrom.
And, Madam President, Senator Cohen, who got the biggest increase under the governor's proposal? Can you tell us that as well, if you'll continue to yield?
It's kind of an anomaly, but the governor is... had made the decision, and I think appropriately so, that the chairman of the Met Council now be treated as a at a commissioner level as a full-time position. So that's the biggest increase, but that gets into the issue of should that person be full-time or part-time.
Senator Westrom.
Madam President, members, I speak in favor of this amendment. I don't think it probably goes far enough. I think we should do more than just July 1st. But members, it really begs the question. We've got a deficiency bill in front of us for $15 million. The same week that the state government is claiming deficiencies on budgets, we've got a governor boosting salaries by $1.4 million of the top paid people in the state of Minnesota. Not the lowest paid, but the top paid. So members, I think this really challenges the deficiency concept. If the departments are this far in deficiency, why would we be putting forth a $1.4 million pay raise for the top paid staff in our state agencies the same week we're trying to pass a deficiency bill, which is what happened. So think long and hard about this, but I think it's important for the public to realize what is going on here at the Capitol. And Senator Cohen, it's hard to pass a deficiency bill when we've got $1.4 million in excess of pay raises sitting around for the governor's office to also do the same week.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, but Senator Westrom, you make exactly the point. That's why Senator Bach offered the amendment, so that we don't have a deficiency relative to the commissioner's salaries in the deficiency bill. That's the very point. So thank you for making that point and offering your support for the amendment.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, Madam President, I'm sorry. Would Senator Bach yield?
Senator Bach will yield. Senator Senjum.
Senator Bach, I appreciate, again, the direction you're going. I, like Senator Westrom, would prefer that we didn't have a July date. But given that, and I just want to tag on to Senator Ingebrigtsen's inquiry and maybe just go a little bit further beyond that. Are there any positions that the governor, through perhaps executive order, increased salaries for that would not be included in your amendment? In other words, does this include everyone?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Senjum, the way this amendment is drafted, it includes everybody that was included in his executive order.
Thank you, Senator Bach, and thank you.
Are there any more questions or comments on the A11 amendment? Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam President, and members, I do think that this amendment to the amendment is a step in the right direction. I just want to make sure we recall that we are here because we did pass a bill, the majority in this body did pass a bill in 2013 to cede the oversight that the legislature has had on these kinds of salary questions. And we ceded that authority to the governor. This amendment doesn't remove that authority. It sets aside his ability to do what he has done, at least for a time being. And I certainly hope that the majority has in their mind the desire to have some legislative process that might reconsider whether we ought to have done that in the first place, whether we have ought to have given that authority away to the governor. In any case, I think that this bill as it is, this amendment as it is a step in the right direction, and I do support it.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, and I appreciate Senator Hand's comments, and obviously I think what I infer is that, you know, we all agree we'll deal with this issue during the course of the session. I do want to point out, though, that I was a member of the Compensation Council that led to that statutory change. The Compensation Council report of 2 years ago was supported unanimously, including, as best I recollect, the three Republicans who were members of the Compensation Council. There was no objection to that proposal from anybody on the council.
Is there any more discussion on the A11 amendment? Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll on the A11 amendment. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and 2 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed. The amendment prevails. Now we're back to the A8 amendment as amended. Senator Cohen, any more comments? Any discussion from members?
Madam President.
Senator Hand.
Has a roll call been requested on the amendment vote?
No.
I would request a roll call.
Roll call requested. Roll call granted. Is there any more discussion? Then the secretary will take the roll on the A8 amendment as amended. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and 10 nays, the motion prevails. The amendment is a... What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. I stand corrected. There being 65 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails. The amendment is adopted.
Madam President.
Senator Housley.
I have the A52 amendment.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Housley moves to amend Senate File Number 174 as follows, page 1 after line 6, insert.
Senator Housley.
Thank you, Madam President. While I appreciate Senator Bach's amendment to the amendment, and I did vote for it, and thank you very much, it doesn't, to other members' comments here and concerns, I don't feel it's gone far enough. It's just a temporary fix, and I'm not really sure that anything will get done before July 1st. What this amendment does is goes back to where we were before the 2013, where it was removed, that the salary raises had to go through the Legislative Coordinating Commission. So this amendment simply would remove the governor's power to unilaterally approve salary increases by bypassing the Legislative Commission. This amendment puts the public back into the salary discussion, requiring pay increase recommendations to be submitted to the Legislative Coordinating Commission. This amendment also increases transparency in the process, preventing the governor from being able to increase salaries behind closed doors. This amendment is retroactive and will undo the raises we just saw from the governor and return the commissioner to the 2014 level. I appreciate your support on the amendment, and I ask for a roll call.
Roll call requested. Roll call granted. Is there any discussion on the A52 amendment? Senator Cohen.
Madam President, let me speak in my condescending best. I gave this little talk at the start of the bill as to how we've handled deficiency bills in the past. I agreed with Senator Westrum that these commissioner salaries, as presented by the governor at this stage of the game, might have accentuated the deficiency. And that's why I thought Senator Bach's amendment to my amendment was quite reasonable to make sure we didn't have any other further deficiency issues. However, Senator Housley's amendment is not what we've done ever before on a deficiency bill. And I don't care who the governor is, and I don't care who's been in the majority of either House or the legislature. We've not done this before. And I told Senator Fischbach that I would make sure that we have full hearings on this issue. Senator Fischbach and I will have a chance to discuss whether or not we do this in the full Finance Committee, the divisions. We're going to do something that will be of satisfaction to members of both the minority and the majority in this body to have a fuller exposition of an important issue. But to muck up, I think that's a legislative term, a deficiency bill for agencies that are going to be in great difficulty, we've never, ever, ever done it before.
Is there any more discussion on the A52 amendment? Senator Hahn.
Well, thank you, Madam President. I'm a little surprised that Sir Cohen would refer to another member and consciously admit that he is being condescending toward that member. I think that is out of line to do that. But I also believe that this amendment that Senator Housley offers is simply asking the question whether the action we took at the First Amendment should be permanent or not. That's a question, a legitimate question for this body. It doesn't muck up anything, but we all are concerned about the power the governor has taken to do this legally and whether we ought to permit that to go forward. So if you would like to make this a permanent change, then vote for the Housley Amendment.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I, for the life of me, don't understand why this will do anything to muck up anything or create any kinds of problems. In fact, whether or not Senator Housley's amendment is attached to the bill, the exact same result is going to happen as of tomorrow. The only question here is whether we're going to string this issue out, whether we're going to have to revisit it, and if we don't get consensus at a later date when we know legislative sessions get busy, and after all, this is a budgeting session, we'll be busy with that, the question becomes, can we resolve this once and for all? We gave the governor authority to do this. Well, I didn't, but the legislature gave the governor the authority to do this. I believe he has said that he is now a bit unbound now that he's not running for re-election, and it does seem we're getting a little Governor Dayton unplugged here, and I don't really like what I see. So I think we should restore the control that the legislature should maintain over salaries, which, by the way, is an appropriation and should be a legislative function. I don't know why anybody in this body would not want to reassert our legislative authority and make sure that the governor can't continue to behave this way or that these ridiculous salary increases go back into effect in July. So I would strongly suggest that my colleagues should support the Housley Amendment.
Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to offer an amendment to the amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment. What's the number on it?
I do not have the amendment in writing, but I could give it to you orally.
How long is the amendment?
Not very long.
Okay, why don't you try giving us an oral amendment?
It's it is on page 3, line point 312, and simply add some language. And it would read this way. This is this section is effective, and this is where the amendment begins, following effective. Following an extraordinary majority of votes to this change in all committees whose interest it is to consider this matter. And then eliminate the remaining part of that sentence.
Madam President.
Senator Fischbacher, are you going to ask for it in writing? Yeah, I think we need to get it in writing. So why don't you work with the reviser? And was that your question too, Senator Benson, to get it in writing? Okay. Is there any more discussion on the A52 amendment? Senator Sharon, I think you can come back at a later time and still amend.
Thank you. I'm going to withdraw my request for the amendment at this time.
Okay. Any other discussion on the A52 amendment? A roll call has been requested. Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 30 ayes and 35 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments? Then the Secretary will give Senate File 174 its third reading.
Senate File Number 174, a bill for an act relating to financing and operation of state government, providing deficiency funding.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Cohen yield?
Senator Cohen? Senator Cohen, will you yield? Senator Cohen? He will yield. Senator Senjum.
Senator Cohen, I would like to just go back to the Ebola discussion where at least five hospitals or medical centers have been allocated money. Can you give me some assurance that that money has been expended or will be expended at this point to satisfy the needs of the so-called Ebola epidemic, which frankly seems to be waning? I'm concerned that obviously that we just don't hand a check out to any of the five without some results, and with sort of the Ebola epidemic being de-emphasized at this point, there might be some thought about, well, we don't need this or that.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Sanchez, I think I understand your question. The appropriation in the bill was based on what was actually expended, not what might be expended in the future. And so I asked fiscal staff to gather from the four affected hospitals, one of which was Mayo, as you well know, the explicit amount they expended to try to work with the Department of Health on the Ebola crisis of the fall. What's in this bill actually represents half of that totality. And I think I'm trying to put more work on Senator Lori, but I would guess there might be every chance that issue is revisited during the course of the session. I simply passed on, as I've always done, and that's why when I made that condescending comment, I was kidding. I passed on, as I've always done, the governor's request, which was $2
million. Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to respond to that, too, because Unity Hospital in my district is one of the hospitals, and they've developed a phenomenal unit. And, you know, even if we don't have the Ebola virus, there could be another virus coming up. And they did have an opportunity to use it this last summer when somebody came back from Libya, is it, or Liberia, or one of those places, and was very ill. And in addition to the beds that are secluded from everywhere else, they have the lab that's secluded. They have the clean room where they can totally gear up before they can even go in to see the patient. And it was a very successful successful trial. Thankfully, he didn't have Ebola, but they've been recognized as one of the top Ebola units in the country from the work that they've done in the last year to put that unit together. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Then the Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 174. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. Whoop. Did someone not vote? Okay. The Secretary will close the roll. There being 49 ayes and 16 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we revert back to Senator Stump.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate File 668 be withdrawn from the Committee on Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Senator Stump, is this your bill?
Madam President, yes, it is. And it actually has two components to it. And the one component relates to taxes and taxation. And so that's why it needs to start or go back to taxes.
And you've spoken to both committee chairs?
I believe yes.
Okay, on that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Are there any announcements? Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senators Reinert, Limmer, Alday. Are there any other announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do now adjourn until Monday, February 16th, 11 a.m.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.